What up, though? It's your boy Lo Gross, also known as Uncle Skeetar, and we back. I know it's been a minute, but I decided to come back with the Skeetar Listener Series, brought to you by Inaudible Ruckus. I got a very, very, very special guest for y'all tonight, man. H-Town legend, Lil Flip, decided to join us, man. One of the real OGs in Southern hip-hop, man, so y'all make sure y'all keep it locked. We're about to talk about his music, some new music that he got coming out, and all his business ventures on the side. And he about to just put us up on game, man, like an OG supposed to. So y'all keep it locked here in Audible Ruckus, motherfucker. All right, y'all. I got a very special guest on the show tonight, man. It's an H-Town legend, one of the most prolific artists. Google that shit if you don't know. Prolific artist and a trailblazer from the South, man. Lil Flip, what up, though?
What's up, my guy?
How you doing, man?
Oh, man, blessed, man. Working smart now, hold on, man.
No, hey, that's the way to go. So first off, man, I wanna thank you for taking the time. You know what I'm saying? As we was talking a little bit offline, I know you a busy man and all, but I mean, I'm just glad to have you on the show, man. We all about covering the underground, right? And you the king, one of the kings of the underground, you know what I'm saying? At least that's where you started at, but you know what I'm saying? You achieved a lot of success and a lot of accolades, so I mean, you know, we gotta like cover that before we get off into anything else, you know what I'm saying? First and foremost.
Man, I'm with it, man. Let's do it. Yeah, the mixtape game, I started out battling. And then, you know, I was freestyling, doing all these battles. And I bumped into DJ Screw, and he put me in the Screwed Up Clique. I was the youngest. I'm still the youngest. Mm-hmm. The youngest member of the Screwed Up Clique. And he crowned me the Freestyle King, man.
So can I ask you then, what was that like that... Cause I growing up wise, I was young, but I hung out with a lot of old heads. A lot of that stuff you learn it before you learn a lot of stuff early on, so that you kind of able to dodge the pitfalls and stuff that other people that's maybe in your age range might fall victim to. Did you experience that, like being so young in the camp?
Well, not really, because my whole family do music already, music and movies and acting. So I was already. And like you as well, I hung with old people as well, so I wasn't really hanging with people my age. Like, I was always with the OGs, and they was focused on getting money and cars and jewelry and stuff. So, you know, like, kids was at the skating rink, you know, I was getting money, man. I only went to the skating rink a few times, but I was trying to go get that money.
Right. Well, I mean, clearly you a hustler, right? And so, like, I've mentioned on my show, man, we drop every week in Audible Ruckus podcast. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the Inaudibles out there listening. But we was talking about Houston artists a while back. I'm big on Houston culture, even being up in Detroit. And I told people this, right? Before the 05 wave hit, right? I was born in the late 80s, so I didn't really get hip to Scarface and UGK till later on. But when we was coming of age, the first H-Town artist that we heard was Lil Flip. You know what I'm saying? Because you had This Is The Way We Ball. That was the first one that I remember. And then we had Game Over. You know what I'm saying? So we was like, who was this nigga? I like spitting, because you was going on there, right? And then I heard you on, I'm a big 3-6 Mafia fan, so I heard you on a lot of those songs and with the David Banner. You had one joint on one of your earlier albums called Represent. That was my shit. I beat up a lot of niggas in college to that song.
man, yeah, that record there, boy. We used to perform that record in Memphis, man. It's this club called Denim and Diamonds. And boy, I perform that shit, boy, that go crazy. that you had that represent record. They told me I can't talk about, man, that shit
that was the shit. Yeah, that shit rhyme, man. Riding Spinners, of course, was a classic. That was a classic verse. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Iconic, I would say, just because of how popular that song was. Then, so my mama, because I told my mama I was interviewing you, and she wanted me to put this in there. So her song was that one you had with Chamillionaire, Turn It Up.
Turn It Up, yeah.
She was like, the one where you was like, I'm a pimp, so I stay in that mind frame. That's her favorite line from that shit. So shout out to Mama Lo. Shout out to Mama Lo out there.
Already appreciate that.
And then I'm just laying the facts for everybody that's listening that may not be hip with, just, you know what I'm saying. And then you had Coming Up, where that was motivational music, that's gospel music. I liked you on that with Pimp C and Zero, RIP to Pimp C.
Yeah, rest in peace to the pimp.
So I mean, You had a lot of like hits. You did a lot of features with a lot of people. And if my memory serves me correct, bro, because I did my research, do you still hold the record for like most features or something like that in the Guinness World Records or something?
Yeah, I should be in the book real soon. I'm on literally, bro, like 5,000 albums. Like literally, like I've been doing so many features with artists like all around the world. You know, Yo City. All times around,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't discriminate. I feel like if somebody's serious about their craft and they approach me in a real manner, you know what I'm saying? And they be honest about what they can pay, and you know what I mean? I work with them if I feel like they ain't running game, you know right. What I'm saying? Because sometimes people be like, yo, man, I ain't really got nothing, man. And then, you know, you look out for them, do a verse for them. And then, shit, I go to the strip club and he told me $5,000. He's like, yeah. Damn, bro, you just. Five bands, but you told me you only had two bands. You know what I mean? So, I'm a new about spirits, man. I could tell if somebody, you know, real or somebody just bullshitting me, man. But yeah, when all everybody else that sold records, man, they be Hollywood. They don't be wanting to talk to the upcoming artists. They don't want to, you know, mentor these guys. And you know, just because somebody only got 5,000 fans or followers, hey, that's 5,000 more fans. You know, right. So I don't look down on people, man. I always root for the underdog.
No, I mean, you got to, man. That's the key to longevity, man. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you then, like, so seeing the evolution of Southern rap, like, how do you feel about that? Especially knowing that you were one of the ones who, and I only say this because, right, so they always talk about how New York was fading, right? And I'm going to get back on subject, but I want you to follow me for a second. And they talk about how, like, the Fat Joes and the Jadakisses went down south, right? And they was the ones to kind of, like, cross over. When really you was up there doing songs with Dipset and, like, in Memphis and doing songs with everybody. So how do you feel about the evolution now that Southern rap is kind of, like, taking over, like, the game?
I think it's dope, you know? I think it's dope, man. You know, every coast pretty much had a time where the spotlight was on them, and then it shifts different places. But I feel like the South, we've been having it for a long time. I mean, you know, like, and especially Screwed Up Click, we influenced a lot. You know, mm-hmm. We influenced the double cups. Now every rapper you know got a double cup. Some of them drinking NyQuil.
Yep.
But, you know, everybody want diamonds in their teeth, platinum teeth. You know, I started that shit like colored stone. But nobody wearing no colored diamonds before I came out, you know what I mean? So, you know, I think hip hop is a dope place though, man. You know, everybody, you know, respecting everybody's music, and you know, the cultures is merging, you know, everybody's using each other's slang and shit like that. So I think the evolution ended up being a great thing, because now, you know, East Coast artists, they come to, like, I just went to Nas and Lauryn Hill's show the other day, like, okay. You know, so East Coast cats, they come to Houston to do shows, and down south, cast me go to New York and do shows, so it's dope.
So I gotta ask you then, how do you feel? Because you mentioned, like, with the Screwed Up Sound and the culture, and a lot of, we didn't realize it then, but like y'all planted the seeds for kind of what the culture is now. When you look at how people like ASAP Rocky and other artists are kind of influenced by Houston, and I mean even Drake to a certain extent. How do you feel about the evolution of Houston rap, like going from that screw sound to kind of like a more party, like even with Travis Scott, let's just say, like how he, it's a whole nother wave, but he repping like Mo City and everything. What can you say about the Houston rap scene and its evolution?
I think it's dope. You know, shout out to ASAP Rocky, man. influenced by Texas music and 3-6 Mafia and Bone. A little bit of that, and you know, his flow patterns and his hooks and shit, man. And you know, I got a chance to meet him a few years ago, and he showed love, man. And you know, we chopped it up, and then the next thing I know, his next album came out. He ended up shouting me out on his intro.
That's love.
And then, you know, as far as Drake, yeah, he spent a lot of time in Houston, man, and when he did his Houston Appreciation Weekend, I think the second year, he brought out the whole, you know, well, not the whole Screwed Up Click, but he brought out Screwed Up Click members to perform, and, like, his backdrop was, like, a picture of the DJ Screw Shop, so, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's dope. And then, you know, I see what Trav is doing, you know, with his wave, the new young wave, the people for next time, so I think it's dope, man, that Houston, you know, the school culture is still being utilized, and then, you know, everybody put their own twist to it, and then you got different people being original with their own thing as well. Yeah. Big Pot of Gumbo.
Well, no, it's definitely influential. So I remember I went to school in Ohio, and we had some dudes from Texas there, so they was, like, showing us, like, how to, like, do the lean and stuff. So the first time I ever tried lean, I never do this shit again, ever. I was, guess what I was listening to? Rainbow Colors with you and 3-6. And I was sitting there, and I was like, man, I'm fucked up. I can't do this shit no more. Like, so it definitely was influential. At least try it once, and you know what I'm saying? You'd be like, nope, okay, this ain't for me. This is not my thing. But it definitely made you want to try it.
Yeah, man. It's the first time, man, it really... But y'all, yes, man. And most people that drink it for the first time, they don't sip. They don't know the trick to it. Is you gotta sip it. Mm-hmm. You gotta sip it slow. Most people that drink that shit and dope it and just take it to the face. And that shit sneak up on you, boy. You know, feeling like, man.
Never again. Look, drug free for me. But no. So. We had to just, I want to get the listeners caught up to speed a little bit. So you have been working on new music. You always stay with new music, you know what I'm saying? Whether you focus on that or not, because I know you got other stuff going on. But we was able to check out this new song, Bitch, I'm the Man. That's featuring MJG and Freon Icy Cole. And this is off your upcoming double CD, right? King Life. You just had that video drop. That video was hot. I do admire this, right? So you mentioned when you, like, do songs with folks and then they run off like, oh, I ain't got the money. And then, like, they start throwing money. In this video, you didn't let the scammers slide at all. So I recommend everybody go to YouTube right now. If you're listening to this, open up a tab. You know what I'm saying? Type in Bitch, I'm the Man by Lil Flip featuring MJG. You know what I'm saying? And Freon Icy Cole, and check that video out. It's fire. But how did you put that song together? Like, what made you want to go with that concept?
The record is just like one of them came up records that, you know, I call them self-esteem records. Just make you shit you want to hear when you're in the club, just turn you up. And I just felt like we should merge the age gap between the new people, the millennials. Like, it's a lot of people that became overnight success and just success on social media. And mm-hmm. So what I did, I decided to take three of the biggest social media stars, you know, with Dan Rue and Nick Paddywhack. They be doing them skits, Peter Piper, you know, breaking into people's houses, you know, just doing different little things and funny skits. And then we got Nubs, you know, he's a guy, he's in the video as well on the hook for with Freon. And then we got a guy by the name of 39 Cents, he's from Louisiana. He be impersonating people on Instagram. You know, I met him on Instagram, but out of all the people he impersonate, he does my impersonation the best. Like, out of everybody, craziest shit ever, dog. So I decided to put all three of them in the video and just, like, you know, utilize the hottest social media guys, man. And that's what we did, man. And we made a movie. You know, the video is like a movie. We got the extended version, and we got, you know, the regular version for the people who don't want to sit still for 7 minutes.
Right, because you know people got ADD now, Flip, man. It's yeah. Crazy now.
Bitch, I'm the shit, I'm the man. Stand on you niggas to show who I am. Nigga, the rich and you know I ain't playing. I do what I want and you do what you can. Bitch, I'm the shit, I'm the man. Stand on you niggas to show who I am. Nigga, the rich and you know I ain't playing. I do what I want and you do what you can. Bitch, I'm the shit, I'm the man. stand on you niggas and show who I am. Look at the risk, you know I ain't playing. I do what I want, you do what you can. Bitch, I'm the shit, I'm the man. Stand on you niggas and show who I am. Look at the risk, you know I ain't playing. I do what I want, you do what you can.
I put the Mac 10 to your vertebrae. I'm in the globe, I'm moving 10 birds a day. Then Jarvo pulled up in this slab. I'm faded off of these Laura tabs. Money ain't the issue, we got it. You a pussy ass rapper, we spot it. And if it's worth the bread, we'll put it on your head. And then you end up dead, cause we mob it. And that tummy gunna give you tummy tucks. We number one, we never run her up. Ain't no dishes in my trap, but my pantry, it got 100 cups. I pull me some acting, I lay back. My wrist kinda rocky like ASAP. They know my hood wild, they copied our style. My partner screw gone and I hate that. But I'ma hold it down for my OG. Get the guap and stay low key. And I'm with your thought and we OT. I'm a living legend like Kobe.
Bitch, I'm the shit, I'm the man. Stun on you niggas to show who I am. Look at the risk and you know I ain't playing. I do what I want and you do what you can. Bitch, I'm the shit, I'm the man. Stun on you niggas to show who I am.
You also, you have a documentary that's accompanying the album, correct? King Life?
Correct. And what I'm doing, I'm dropping a 4 EPs before I drop the album. The album, King Life, comes out March 2nd. What I'm dropping, as far as the EPs, I'm dropping a K-EP. And we put out the K-Doc. So to the fans listening, y'all can go to YouTube, type in Lil Flip, the K-Doc. And it basically showed the making of the records that I'm actually putting on the K-EP. And then after that, I'm going to drop the I-EP, then I'm going to drop the I-Doc, then I'm going to drop the N-EP, then the G. It's going to spell out the word King.
Okay.
I actually got a part two to the K-Doc. You know, we got some little footage that, so I might put like the K-Doc part two pretty soon. So I'm just kind of mapping it out, but... You know
yeah.
How it is.
I mean, it's
you got so much footage.
I read it like it was like I'm reading between the lines on it. It's strategic as fuck. Two, like, I like that, you know, we live in an age now that's different. Before, like, I grew up, you had to read the XXL magazines, the Source magazines and stuff. So now with Instagram, you kind of get to, like, see and connect with your favorite artists outside of just their music, right? But even with the documentary, you get to see, like, the human side of folks. And I say that, like, you know what I mean by that. Like, we just see, like, the change in the car stuff. But to see you just kicking it, like, everyday folks, you know what I'm saying, up at Timmy Chan's and everything, just kicking it, shouting out people in the hood, showing love and stuff. Like, that let me know, like, man, Flip a real dude. Like, and they love Flip. And people need to see that stuff because, you know, nowadays we can put on these facades and stuff on social media. You don't know what to believe no more.
Yeah, nah, exactly, man. You know, some people, they can't go to their own hood, man. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. You got two kind of kings. You got a king of the people.
Yeah.
And then you got kings that's tyrants. And they feel like they better than people. And I don't carry myself like that, man. You can't take the money with you, man. I show respect, you know, to everybody, man. My grandma told me even a dog deserves respect.
Yeah, most definitely, man. Look, hey, them wise words. I knew you was going to drop game on here, man. So if you're listening out there right now, just keep a little notepad for these little quotables and stuff, man, because it's going to help you get through life. I'm definitely soaking up game. So I do want to ask you then, on this album, right, so it's because it's so divided up, what artists are you working with? Do you have some newer artists that you kind of like showing love to on there and letting them get some shine? Like, who's going to be on this album and on the different projects?
Well, I got the legendary hook maker by the name of Big Key. He the one from that classic Texas record, Wanna Be a Baller,
mm-hmm.
Jack Collar. So we made that record. The next single coming out after Bitch on the Man is actually called Baller. We remade that classic track.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that.
Record I got Gangsta Boo on the record. I got Troy Ave on the record. I got, who else? I got King Lil G from the West Coast. I got a new artist named Kid from Chicago. He owned it. I'm working on the track. Gonna get Jada Kiss on with DJ Premier. It's not done yet. I got a track I sent to Twisted. I'm still waiting on that verse. I'm gonna follow up with him in a couple days.
Okay.
I might see him at the awards. But, who else I got on this shit?
Sound like you going. It sound like you doing what Flip do, man. That universal reach, man. You got a little bit of everybody on here.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to be in the studio with Beethoven. Really soon. I'm I got Beat King on the record. We got a crazy still play record. Crazy.
Okay.
I'm not gonna overdo it with the features though. You know what I mean? Most of the time. Artists be having so many people on their albums that she turns to compilations.
It sounds like them 1990s posse cuts where you let the whole label just get on and everybody, even your little cousin who don't want to like he don't rap but he kind of rap a little bit, so you let him get a 16, like.
Right, exactly.
So let me ask you this then, right? With some of the newer artists, right? And we got to dive off into, like, your heritage, so to speak. With some of these newer artists, do you haze them and, like, put them through a gauntlet where they got to, like, battle rap in a room full of rappers?
I don't do it like that, but I put them on the spot, you know? Like, I'm not going to let them take the easy route out. Like, I know how to pull the best out of people because sometimes people don't want to be put on the spot and they'll feel like you're demeaning them, so... You got to kind of hang around people and be around them to learn them first, to kind of figure out what, you know, what offends them and whatnot, because everybody can't perform under pressure. But once I figure out a person's personality, then I figure out different ways to, you know, push them to get the best out of them. But yeah, like I don't settle for just anything. Mm-hmm. Like I make them work for it, earn it.
I mean, it sounds like you're a real, like, you're a quarterback, man. You got to lead the squad, so it's like, all right, I got to see, like, how I, like, Tom Brady almost. I got to see what their strengths are and put them in a situation to succeed, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely, yeah, that's the position I played. I played quarterback, I played running back, safety, and kicker, and then baseball, I was center field, and basketball, I was point guard.
Okay, so that means you was fast then. That means you had the wheels.
Yeah. So, you know, I just understand, like, teamwork, man. You got to deal with your linebacker's different. You got from how you deal with your center.
Yep. Yeah, you got to know, like, where to pass it at. If you're a shooter, like, sometimes you pass it at a certain part, like, in the little pocket. So, all he got to do is lift up and shoot. He ain't got to do much. Yep. He already in the motion. That's a point guard, you know what I'm saying? Now, I did ask you this question, though, right? Because I read somewhere that you have your own battle rap league. So, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I got my own. It's called Lil Flip Rap Battle League, man. And like I said, I started off battle rapping. Mm-hmm. And one of my partners is a guy by the name of Disaster. He's in Eminem's new movie called Body. He's one of the lead characters. And I actually feel like Disaster is one of the best battle rappers out there, man. He's dope. He can write bars and he can freestyle at the same time, man. And me and him, we got records and songs together. And we're going around the world. We go have battles in different cities and get representatives out of different cities. And then once we get about 3 to 4, 5 maybe in each state, then we go do the champ. We go get the champ of the state. And then once we get representatives from each state, then we go try to do the battle, who the champion of the United States, and then once we get that champion, we go to other countries, man. So we got to mix that shit up, man.
Okay. So again, being from Detroit, I remember when 8 Mile came out, and that became like... Everybody wanted to battle rap. I used to battle rap a little bit because everybody went through that hooper phase and everybody went through that rapper phase. Only the talented ones stuck with it, right? I realized shortly after, like, all right, I ain't going to be no rapper. But I used to tomahawk niggas in the hallway, man, metaphorically speaking. Like, because battle rap was real big. And I think that, and I want to ask you this then. When you battle rapping, you got to be quick on your feet. You got to be able to read the room. And it sounded to me like you good at doing that. And then you got to be able to put the bars together. So, like, what's just give us, like, one or two, maybe even three tips that you would give to somebody out there that want to be a battle rapper? You ain't got to give them your secrets, but, like, give them, like, a couple of things that would help them, like, be better at it.
Well, my main thing, it's two ways people battle. Like, the way we battled out freestyle, you know what I'm saying? We went off the top of the head, but the way they battle now is they remember their bars and shit. So, you know, my advice to a person that's so bad at period, man, I feel like you need to be able to do both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be a one-trick pony. And that's why I feel like this guy should come as fuck, because he can remember rhymes as well as come off the top. Another tip is, like, you got to study your opponent. You got to know. You got to go back to all their battles, see what they do, see what they habits are, see what their weaknesses are. And then the third one, you know, don't take that shit for granted. And, you know, you got to study the room and study the crowd. And sometimes including people, you know, that's in the crowd in your rhymes.
Yep.
You know, man, it just makes the crowd like, oh, shit, he put me in there. Like, those people, they're gonna rewind their battle and show their friends. Yeah,
well, I don't know. I gotta ask you this. You a battle rapper, so I can ask you this question, because I mentioned this before to some niggas. So I was in one battle one time, right? Now you tell me if this makes sense or not, right? I said, I'm not a dumb nigga, but I'm the one that point nines, and it went over everybody's head. Nobody got it.
Yeah, man. I mean, sometimes people be just so hyped, and then sometimes people be just on favoritism.
You know, I think it was favoritism. I'm voting favoritism. I'm going with favoritism.
Yeah, because sometimes people have their whole hood, you know, and whatever they got, go say, they could be like, ooh, you know, so it's just different ways, man. Then sometimes people be in that drunk.
Man, I don't know, because it's like because you go off the crowd reaction, like you said, and you know you hitting them with your best shit, and then everybody in the audience just sitting there like, huh, what? Anyway, so tell us a little bit about your artist Freon Icy Cold. He was featured on the Bitch on the Man. So tell us a little bit about him. Like, how did y'all link, and how did you bring him to the label?
Man, I met him through one of my in-house producers. You know, I got a team of about 5 to 6 in-house producers, man. One of my producers, man, actually from the B, man, Rev City, he called his fuck.
Okay.
But yeah, I met him through this guy named Havoc. He's a producer that I fuck with. And he just told me that I got this dude, he called, you got to see him perform. And I saw him perform, and man, that dude was super dope as fuck. Like, super dope as fuck, and his energy was right as well, so...
Yeah, the energy, you know, was on point. It definitely, like, and I saw in your documentary, so the first one that you released, I saw him playing the piano, and it, I was like, that's real talent right there, you know what I'm saying? Somebody that can do all, like, the instrumentation and stuff, like, only, like, you know, the real musicians when they can do stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's another thing I think was dope. You know, he can play the piano, he played the drums, you know, I play the drums, I play the piano. So, I mean, yeah, and I put him on the spot numerous times to come up with hooks and shit, and he ain't let me down, you know, and I ain't gonna say he ain't let me down yet, because that'll mean I'm a doubter.
Yeah.
He ain't let me down, so...
Well, see, so we got this one song, man, Bring the Band by him, and I thought, man, it's catchy. It's got that nice little bounce to it and stuff. Tell us about that. Like, did you have a hand? Were you in the studio sitting when he made that? Like, what was your thoughts when you heard it?
Man, the Bringing a Band record was the second record he brought to me. He had another record called Forward, and I did a tour called the Art of Freestyle Tour, and he went with me, and he performed it a couple of times. And I told him, I was like, yeah, that Forward record is cool, man.
Yeah, see?
Here you are. And shit, he went back to the studio and he came. And shit, he came back with Bringing a Band. And the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, that's all right. And then I said, play it one more time. He played it again. And then I said, okay, I need a language. You can corner the fucking band, the band market, the fucking college, the high school.
Ah.
Like, and so. That's what we did. And so right now he's currently on B King's Ratchet and Savage tour. They going to a whole bunch of colleges and shit. And we about to put his video out Friday the 13th.
Okay.
We gonna put out the Bringing the Band video and the single, man. But yeah, that shit is crazy.
Bringing the band. So woman, I swear to you, is a fan, but I don't play by my bands. Bring in the band if you won't play with my hands. End up like losing it, man. Bring in the band, let me warn you in advance. I do not play with advance. Bring in the band, I'll make a call to the clan. They show with tubers in hand. Bring in the band.
Like you mentioned, you play quarterback, you play point guard, you play safety, which safety you still gotta, it's like being the quarterback of the defense too, to a certain degree, because you see everything, so you gotta see the angles. And just like how you said with Freon, right? So you was able to kind of say, okay, well, play the colleges and stuff, because then you can use that, like, because we know these Southern schools, they do the battle of the bands and stuff all the time. So clearly you business minded. The Forbes list of rappers came out this year. And when we gonna walk through some of these things, Flip, you know what I'm saying? So you just let us know, you know what I'm saying? How much we don't want to get too in your business. We don't want to be in your pockets. Grown men don't count another man's pockets. But I think it's important, like on this show, because we all about trying to empower the community and stuff. So I read somewhere that a successful millionaire has more than 7 streams of income, right? And I think that we also need to see his other possibilities for entrepreneurship. You know what I'm saying? And one thing that about you, because, I mean, I read back in the day, like, you had your clothing line. This was early on. Like, one, you always been business savvy and stuff, but you was one of the first ones to have your clothing line early. You was one of the first ones to jump off into the liquor game, right? And I read, too, that you got a new liquor deal with Bel Air, along with the Lucky Nights, man. So tell us a little bit about that.
Man, you know, I just been maneuvering, man. I got my own liquor called Lucky Nights, and I did a deal with, you know, Bel Air, you know, to promote that brand. I drink this shit all the time. So, you know, did a situation with them, man. And then I got some MMA fighters and some boxers and app deals and a book out called Don't Let the Music Industry Fool You. It's okay. On Kindle and iTunes and a tattoo shop in San Antonio. We got TJ Jerry, a Jerry store. That's in Austin, Texas. So, you know, I'm just dibbling, dabbling, diversifying my portfolio.
Right, clearly. So let me ask you this then. For the boxing and the MMA, what made you want to get into that?
I used to box.
Okay.
And I did martial arts for 8.5 years, almost 9 years. So, you know, I mean, I've been in front of camera stages, rings, and octagons all my life.
Okay, now, again, so mind you, Flip, like, I'm 29, right? And I know I'm probably keep bringing up all this old shit, right? So forgive me, because I told you, I'm young. I grew up a fan. On Def Jam Vendetta, man, your character was one of the hardest characters to fight. It was some Bruce Leroy shit, man, jumping and diving all over the place. So that shit was inspired by the real Flip then.
Yeah, bro, that's what everybody used to tell me when that shit came out. It's like, man, your character was the hardest to beat, man. That shit was crazy, man. Good old days.
Nah, for real, you know how you gotta pause the game, your mama call you downstairs and eat, and then you like, man, you come back upstairs, you're like, I don't know if I wanna play this shit no more tonight, man. I might just finish it tomorrow and stuff. You know, I don't know, because I can't beat this boy, and it's making me mad, because it was like early on in the game, too.
Yeah.
I stopped listening to you for like a month till I heard you on another 3-6 song. But I mean, you know, anyway.
Hey, man, it's all good, man. I appreciate it.
But so you said also you got the jewelry store. Now, that's up in Austin?
Yeah, that's in Austin, Texas, man, the state capital.
What made you pick Austin?
One reason is, you know, I'm good family members. King Johnny, he made majority of the screwed up clique jewelry, like, that's who made all our jewelry and stuff, and I didn't want to compete with my brother, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I decided to partner up with somebody who was in Austin, man, and, you know, let King Johnny do what he do, and, you know, we'll take over Austin, man. So, you know, we just not competing with our family members.
Right. I mean, I think that one, I say this, because I've been up to Austin a couple of times. I love the vibe up there, right? It's real artsy, right?
Yep.
I only bring that up because I saw in the documentary, and you're a man of like 1,000 talents, man. You like the most, all right. You might be, your next project, after you do the King joint, the most interesting man in America. It's the idea, just throw it out there. I ain't gonna charge you nothing for that. But I saw in the documentary, man, you like to paint.
Yeah, I love to paint.
Now, when I first read that, right, like, because, you know what I'm saying, I talked to AJ, and he was sending me stuff, and I'm like, flip like the paint, and I thought it was just going to be some, like, some finger, like, paint type on board. Nah, like, you was really legit, like, up there getting it, and then, like, when I saw that you utilized your art and put it on your t-shirts and everything and as part of your clothing, like, how did you get into the painting?
Well, I started drawing when I was little. Like, my dad, he drew. My uncle used to always draw. He would always have, like, shit around the house drawing, like, everywhere and shit. And I just always used to draw, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, like, all my Terry, my grills, all them throwback jerseys I used to have on, I used to draw them jerseys. My album covers, I would draw them.
Okay.
Like, I just would always draw my shit up, man, so... And hey, it's just hand in hand. So I paint canvases and I do custom shoes. Like on my Instagram, you know, for the fans that's listening, go to LilFlip713 on my Instagram and you'll be able to see.
Okay.
Like a lot of my work and a lot of my tennis shoes. I just painted 20 pairs of tennis shoes this last month. And all kind of dope shit, bro. Like creative ass shit, comic book shit, just you name it. All kind of different styles.
That's dope. I think we need a rap comic book, man. Like, I mean, that's something that you should look into. Just a suggestion, man, because, like, you know, it's... And I only say that because, like, you think about the inner city, right? Like, I went to a arts high school for communications and stuff, right? But they try to close our school down. Like, if you don't play sports, if your sports team ain't good, then they, like, trying to shut it down. They get rid of the music programs. They get rid of the art programs. And it's a lot of us, you know what I'm saying, that's talented in those areas, but we don't have the resources to bring that out, like, to bring that potential out of us. So, can you tell us a little bit more about your art over drugs movement?
Well, I just feel like with the kids, man, like, a lot of times, a lot of kids, they wait till they in high school to kind of figure out what they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's more like giving these kids a head start. Well, we give them paint, canvases, and then we teach them how to have art auction and shit like that. And mm-hmm. then, the ones that want to do acting, we provide them with acting coaches to help them act. And the ones that want to play instruments, we get them with, you know, other musicians that gives them classes and teach them how to play instruments. So once they start getting good enough, then we provide opportunities to get them in commercials and, you know, movies and just different little things, man. Like, we just give, like, trying to show the kids, like, hey, man, you can be making money at 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
You can be more responsible with your money. You can even help your own mama with some of the bills. You know what I mean? So yeah. We just, instead of being slow, we giving them a head start.
I mean, I think that's important. What I tried to do before I moved to Houston, I've been down here like 4 years. So I used to volunteer at like the Boys and Girls Club. Because I'm the first person like in my family to finish college. And it's Detroit, man. Detroit tough as hell, man. So my first job, I was like 13. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I was buying Adidas and like paying my own phone bill when I was like 13, 14. But like when you learn these things early, it kind of prepares you and sets you up. Like as you get older, it gives you a sense of accountability and responsibility. But also, it helps you find who you are. You feel what I'm saying?
Yep, and it puts you in a mind frame to not let people, you know, shortchange you or try to bribe you to do something for mm-hmm. crumbs. You know, when you're used to making money on your own, you know, most people, if you said, hey, man, I'll give you $500 to, you know, shave your head bald. Like, to some people that's 13, they might be like, oh, yeah, yeah, let me go cut my shit now.
Yeah.
But a person who didn't make $500 in a day, you know what I'm saying, or in a few hours, whatever they work a trade is, you can't be easily persuaded. You're like, man, $500, man, I make that. I can keep my hair and you know, so
yep.
I just feel like, you know, that shit trains you, man, gets you way more prepared for the world. And that's dope. So congratulations, bro, to being the first person to graduate from college. That's your family.
Nah, I appreciate it, man. It's like I tell everybody, man, it's all about integrity. And to your point, somebody throw some money in your face, man, your integrity costs way more than that. That's what my granddaddy used to tell me. But
yep.
I do want to talk. So clearly you connected to the community, man. So tell us more about what it was like getting your own day in Houston. How did that make you feel?
Man, it was a dope feeling, man. I got a day in Padre Island as well, like 4 years ago. That's where all the spring breakers go party.
Wait, tell me. How'd you get to? You must have got some epic, and you ain't got to tell us, but how'd you get to Padre? Houston, I get community efforts and this and that. How'd you get to Padre Island? Did you take the slabs down there and, like, party and shut it down, like, 2 weekends in a row? So how you get a day on South Padre, man?
I've been doing concerts in Padre since I was, like, 16, 17. Okay. And, we've just been going out there, and then one of my third times doing Padre, I actually went with D12. Like, we had a big concert. This when D12 first came out. Mm-hmm. And I just brought a lot of awareness to that community, and money and tourists came out, and we did things with the mayor, went to the schools, and gave away stuff. And, you know, I mean, any city I go to, man, you know, I try to reach out to the people. I don't believe in going to people's cities and not trying to help the community. Like, I got to go to people's cities and network with the artists and different people, street cats, shit. We just figure out ways we can make money together and make moves together.
Yeah. So I got to ask you then, so speaking of that, you got another song called Street Doctor with the original AJ. On that song, right, AJ mentioned Oklahoma, and they said, is this true? Like, you getting your own street up in Oklahoma?
Yeah, I met a mayor of one of the small towns. I was supposed to get it this year because he wanted to do a festival and stuff like that. So he pushed it back to next year or whatever, but yeah. So I'm going to announce it once it happens.
Okay.
Slab
cruising the app, so if you don't jack, I'm so strapped. Beat on my lap, nah nigga, hold that. Gotta lick it, Oklahoma, say want 1,000 somers. Never trust new niggas, so you know I'm stepping on it. Got a nigga in the D, say he want that Arizona. Before I leave the crib, my Bible and that pistol on me. Shout out Tony, yeah, we leaning. My bro center, he a heathen. Got me busting dime checks, more money, Damon Keenan. It's drought season, niggas red and niggas greening. I got act, I'm original for a reason.
You want a pint of lean, I'll have it to you in an hour. I'm busting down scripts, fuck over the counter.
Street doctor, I'm Doogie Howser. I said, street doctor, I'm Doogie Howser.
Man, you can miss me with that bullshit. Man, you selling K-Roll and trying to play me like that. That'll get you a halo.
We shoot guns like Halo.
Run up, I let them have
it. I sold work to my uncle.
I'm a motherfucking savage.
We got all the codeine and all the tabs and shit. You got the cash for flip. Let's do the math and dip.
Fuck you, man.
I been a trill, nigga. That ain't activists in your cup. That's been a drill, nigga. Smoke, I got a vaporizer, nigga. This muddy cup feel like a horse tranquilizer, nigga. Been down in Jacktown, I had a lot of work. And yeah, my nails clean, but I'm still doing dirt. And with the Glock behind the arc, I shoot better than dirt. So pay me what I'm worth, or we go take you off this earth. I'm still trapping, I got a billionaire mind state. I'm Doogie Howser, I increase the crime rate.
You want a pint of lean, I'll have it to you in an hour. I'm busting down scripts, fuck over the counter.
Since we're talking about Oklahoma, man, are you or are you not upset that Melo didn't come to Houston?
I'm not gonna sound upset. I wish he would have came. Mm-hmm. You know, but I know it's a business, and I know anything can happen. And who knows? Hell, you know, I think he only signed a 1-year contract. So who knows if he stay in Oklahoma or if he come to Houston, man? But I'm glad to see he's able to get out and do something different. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And now he's playing next to Russ. So all I know is I'm actually looking forward to this new NBA season. There's been a lot of trades, a lot of shakeups, man. And
how you think the Rockets gonna do this year, Flip?
I feel like we gonna get further than we got last year. Like, you got Speeder and Harden and Reza and Nae. But
I mean, the West is definitely competitive. You know what I'm saying? I'm still trying to be a Houston Rockets fan. It's hard for me because, you know what I'm saying, I grew up a Pistons fan. But I feel like the Rockets is the same as Detroit, where they, like, those forgotten, like, back in the day when y'all won back-to-back championships, we won back-to-back championships. But everybody, if you're not the Bulls or the Spurs or the Lakers or Celtics, they just kind of ignore you like you ain't nothing. And it's like, hold on, now the Rockets was the shit back in the day, and they popping now. So you got to watch for them every year.
Yeah, like I said, it's going to be interesting, man, because Barty can ball, man. He can hoop, man. Yeah. So it's going to be, I feel like every team kind of got some little upgrades. It's going to be a way more competitive season, man. Shit got shaken up with all these trades.
Yeah. So speaking of shakeups, then, finally, the Texans put Deshaun Watson in, man. What's your thought about the Texans and how you think they're going to shape up this season?
I feel like they should keep him as a starter, man. I feel like, you know, he got what it takes. He got some talent. You know, he can run the ball. I feel like, man, we're going to do better. I feel like this is going to be our best year. Man, I hate that, you know, Arian Foster retired and shit, man, yeah. But yeah, I feel like this is going to be a great year for the Texans, man, so, you know.
I mean, overall, man, I just feel like it's going to be a good year for Houston. Houston is a popping city. That's one of the things that motivated me to want to move here. But back to you, so being part of Texas, being like part of that culture, and being an original member of Screwed Up Click, being the youngest member of Screwed Up Click, I'm saying, you got another song called Screwed Up. Can you tell us about that? And, like, what was it like to kind of, did you listen to some old stuff to kind of draw inspiration up? Like, what made you want to come up with that song?
Man, I just felt like there's a lot of people that's stealing our shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Screwed Up Click shit, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people stealing our shit, man, and, when it comes to, like I was talking to you earlier, the double cups and the grills and everybody screwing up their records, making songs called Screwed Up, the job is screwed. You know, it's different shit, but nobody's donating any money to DJ Screw Family or to the Screw Shop.
Right.
And so that's why on the hook I say, if you ain't from Texas and you ain't screwed up, you know, I'm just basically on that vent, just letting them know, like, hey, man, you know, you want to copy our shit, you know, just come drop off a donation at the Screw Shop. Donate some money, you know, just donate. Pay homage. Drop some of that money out, man, to the people at the Screw Shop. You know, the Screw Shop will always be open because all the Screwed Up Click members, you know what I'm saying, that's doing shit, like, we still put money into it and help out and put out shirts and CDs there and we break bread. You know, we do different things for the Screw Shop to keep that shit going, man. And, you know, that's how I go.
I mean, most definitely, because one thing that...
Stacking these M's while scraping these factory rims. It's a buckshot right in your head if you think about snatching my gems. I pull up and pull all the women. Don't make me go pull out the Hemi. I'm coming to America. Don't make me go pull out the semi. Like Tupac, I got juice and I kick. That's just like Bruce. I got in my juice. I got thing in my juice. You drink leche, I drink Texas tea. I'm at Ecstasy in Dallas. Man, what? I keep a double cup, but I used to drink out a chalice. No Bombay for me, that's too cheap, that's too cheap. You see 12 foreigns lined up in the fleet, that's my street, that's my street. I'm on 45, with a 45, I let my shawty drive. My closet full of vintage clothing lines, just like Clark and I.
If you ain't from Texas and you ain't screwed up. If you ain't from Texas, then you ain't screwed up. Ladies and gentlemen,
J. Prince, he taught me the game. He told me don't f*** with you lames. So that's what I did, I took heed, I rocked
y'all. Clearly that's the legacy of Screw. And I mean, it's a beautiful thing to watch y'all, you know what I'm saying, keep it going. So you know, this is one of the last questions I got for you, because I know you're busy, man. Again, thank you for taking the time. But what do you feel that your legacy, what is Lil Flip's legacy? And what is it now, and what do you want it to be?
Just a person who, you know, Screw called and crowned me the Freestyle King, and a person who lived up to his name, a person who came in the game as a CEO, a person who refused to be a slave, a person who has integrity, mm-hmm. a person who never sold his soul and sold 23 million albums, 13 million ringtones. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just a stand-up king, you know? And I show respect and give respect. And I'm Hollywood, not Hollywood.
Talk to him, Flip. All right, man. We definitely appreciate you joining us, man. For the listeners out there, man, give them your social media one time so they know where to follow you at.
Follow me on Twitter, Instagram. It's the same shit, LilFlip713. My Facebook is LilFlip, a.k.a. Flip Gates. And to all the fans, man, if you fucking with the Bitch on Demand song, man, make sure you go to iTunes, buy the song, download it. You know, it's $1. It's cheaper than Starbucks coffee. And, you know, jam that shit, work out to that shit, so we can get these streams.
No doubt. Man, Flip, thank you. It's an honor and it's a privilege, man, to be able to just chop it with you. You know what I'm saying? I know you're busy, man, but I appreciate you coming on the show, dropping some game. You know what I'm saying? We learned some stuff about you, too, man. That's the main thing. We always want to learn more.
Nah, not a problem, bro. Anytime, my guy.
All right, man. All right, y'all. That was Lil Flip. Appreciate y'all for checking out the Skeetar Listening Series, man. It's your boy, Lil Gross. Make sure you check out Inaudible Ruckus every week on Slaughterhouse Radio, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can download the TuneIn app. We also on Apple Podcasts. We on Google Play. You can visit the website, inaudibleruckus.com. Visit slaughterhouse.com. Facebook, you know what I'm saying? We got a page, Inaudible Ruckus Podcast. Follow us Inaudible Ruckus _podcast. Look at me. Social media out, man. All over the place. Inaudible Ruckus _podcast. Phone already blowing up. Twitter, Inaudible RAUC1. And if you got any inquiries or anything, or if you want to be on the show, man, hit us up. Inaudible Ruckus Podcast @gmail.com. Play my theme music.
Yeah.